Good to see all of you. I preached up at Raining Grace Church this morning, and Ross says, "Oh yeah, you can do it. You can do it." And but it's, you know, for me, it's pretty much the same. As I get 15 minutes between classes, so you just teach a class and you take a 15-minute break and you do the next class. So. But they're never the same. They're always different. So, but it's good to be with you here today. I haven't been able to be with you for a while. And I appreciate you stopping, Rod, because you pretty much preached three-quarters of my message. You just left me a quarter. So I will illustrate it differently. But, yeah, so. So, anyway, it is. It's good to walk into this building and feel the presence of God in here. And I was standing out in the lobby out there when I walked in, and I thought, you know, I just feel the presence of God here. You know, and it's, and that is what it's all about. It's not just about what we can accomplish or manufacture, or, but it's just about being in the presence of God. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for the blessings of God. We serve a good God, don't we? Amen. Can you say that with me? We serve a good God. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves of that, don't we? We need to rehearse that in our minds, because sometimes life is not good. You been there? Sometimes, you know, life is not treating you well, but God is still in control and God is still there for us and working in us. And I believe that God desires to do something good for his church too. However, that can't happen until we allow the Holy Spirit to begin to work in us, to prepare us for what he wants to do, so he in turn can do good through us. He needs to do good in us so he can do good through us also. And what I want to share with you this morning is with very little backstory. We see in 1 Kings that Elijah jumps into history and actually transforms our whole understanding of God and theology and so many other things in his short life and the short things that we know about him. And it begins to tell us just how much we could accomplish if we just show God that we're just dedicated to him, that we're surrendered to him in everything that we do. So I want you to look in your Bibles in 1 Kings chapter 17. I have it on the screen too. In the first six verses of that passage, it says, "Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab," now we know that Ahab is this evil king. Ahab has brought the whole nation into wickedness, probably one of the most wicked kings that Israel was ever to face. And we see all that Ahab has done. So Elijah goes in, he springs onto the scene, he goes to Ahab, and he says, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." Now, we in Arizona know, like, what that's like. Yeah, so we live this. So, then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. So the word of the Lord goes to Elijah for Ahab, but then the Lord speaks to Elijah for Elijah's sake. And he says, "Leave here, turn eastward and hide in the Kirith Ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook. I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there." And he goes on to that scripture. So he did what the Lord had told him. Now that's a whole sermon in itself. And so he did what the Lord told him. How many times do we just need to get that lesson first? And he went to the Kirith Ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. So God is judging Israel. He is going to bring a famine everywhere. And he takes Elijah on a little camping trip, and he plops him down in the Kirith Ravine, where he's protected. I just got back from Joshua Tree National Park, and we had a Desert Fathers Collective, where it's a bunch of ministry leaders come together. We camped out, and actually, all my pictures today are from pictures that I took there, and because it's very deserty. But anyway, you know, it was a silence and solitude retreat. So can you imagine 18 ministry leaders coming together and practicing silence or solitude? So there were two miracles there in and of themselves. But I want us to see that God desires to mature us personally. But this happens as we build his kingdom. And we have to be open to his ever-changing and creative ways. He's a creative God. He's going to do creative things in us. He's going to do something wonderful through us, but we have to allow him to do that. We have to take those steps forward for him. But our challenge is we get so used to how God has worked in the past that many times we miss the new thing that God is bringing us to. Well, God's always worked this way, so it's always got to work this way, right? I was having a conversation with somebody this morning about the value of overhead projectors. You know, now if you're under 30, you don't even know what I'm talking about. So just answer your Instagram and I'll get back to you in a second. But you know, the overhead projector was wonderful too. And we went to PowerPoint and you can't write on it or make scribbles or anything. But we see that God works in different ways at different times. And what happens is I think many times our thankful lives become deceived by our flesh. And all of a sudden we start to limit God for what he can do because we only want him to do what he's done in the past. We only want him to work in the ways he's done in the past. We only want him to bless us in the way he's done in the past. We only want him to deal with us in the way he's done with us in the past. And you know what God is saying? He's saying, you know what? I'm a creative God. I'm a supernatural God. I want to do something different in you today. So I want us to look at this story just a little bit more as we unpack it and see how God began to teach this lesson to Elijah and what we can gain from it. So first of all, God is committed to our provision and protection. We have to understand God is committed to our provision and protection. He's committed to you. He loves you. He cares for you. In verse 4 of there, it says, "You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there." So God had all the plan there. All Elijah had to do was go to the right place, and provision was there. All God had, protection was there. All of it was right there. So God provides for those who are faithful to his plan. So what we have to do is we have to be responsive to the plan of God. Because when we function within the plan of God, everything is there for us, as Elijah saw. We saw the purpose was to prophesy. That was part of God's plan. So you go, Elijah, and you prophesy, and then you go to the place. The ravine in Cherith was the place where provision was going to place. But it wasn't just provision, it was protection, because isn't it interesting that Elijah was not even subject to his own prophecy? You know, he says, your crops are going to die, your animals are going to suffer, you're all going to get real thirsty for the next few years, but I'm not. And God provides for him. And so he had the provision of food every day, and the ravens brought him food, and the brook was going, and there was peace. Can you imagine the disruption economically, the disruption politically, the anxiety in the lives of people as there's no water, there's no rain, there's no hope in sight. But you know what? He had peace. He was protected from all that by following God's plan. We find in Philippians chapter 6, verse 19, it says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." You know, God wants to meet all your needs, not just some of them, not just hit the highlights of them, but God wants to meet all your needs according to his riches. Now we know that we have a poverty-stricken God, right? And he really doesn't have a whole lot to offer us, right? I'm just seeing how many are sleeping so far. And so we have it according to his riches and glory, not according to your riches, according to his riches. Aren't you glad? If God would have said, "I can meet all your needs according to what you already got in your bank account," I'd say, "Oh, Lord, we need more faith." But that's what he says. In Psalms 84:11, he says, For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. He's asking you to walk in his plan, to live your life in his plan, and he is going to provide for you. So the lesson that we get from this then is that we can have comfort and confidence in God's attentive provision for us. God is attentive to your need. God is attentive to your struggles. God is attentive to what is going on, and his attentive provision for us gives us a sense of security and comfort within our lives. He says in Hebrews 13:5, keep your lives from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Let's say that together. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. That was great. Let's say it again. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. I'm excited. You guys are kind of excited. That's good. We're getting someplace. You know, he's promised us this, and he's going to stand by his promise. So this is not a message of prosperity. This is not a prosperity service, a sermon. This is a provision sermon. And there's a difference. God will provide for you. So I'm not going to go out and buy myself a helicopter, because it'd be a lot easier to get to work. That's irresponsible. But I'm going to trust God's provision in my life. And he's going to care for me and walk with me through my life. So Elijah was actually living out the Lord's prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Elijah wasn't given a storehouse. Elijah was given his daily bread. Now, me being me, as I looked at this scripture, I had to get more information, because I grew up in Sunday school. And in Sunday school, you always had the bird coming in with this little tiny morsel of food in his mouth. And he says he would feed him meat and bread in the morning, meat and bread in the evening. And it was a raven, we know that. And I'm like, and it was always such a small piece. I'm like, how did Elijah survive on this little tiny morsel of meat and bread? And the brook was running, that's okay. But you know what I have? I have the internet. So I Googled, how much weight can a raven carry in its mouth and still fly? 3.5 pounds. Because ravens are big. Yeah, so 3.5 pounds. So we're talking 8 quarter pounders in the morning, 8 quarter pounders at night. Elijah was probably putting on weight in the Kiris Valley. And, you know, and so I was thinking, you know, this probably was a good gig for Elijah. God really was providing for him, because the ravens, it wasn't sparrows bringing him food. It was a raven. But we see that this is how the Lord brings us. God is calling us to renewed trust in his provision in our lives. But it's not opulence. It's committed care for us as we surrender for his purpose. It's committed care for us as we surrender for his purpose for us. So, secondly, though, when we look at God is committed to our provision, we have to look at also that God's provision will transition. The way God provides for you is not going to just be a static experience in our life. So let's look at those next two verses in verse 6 and verse 7. It says, the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. That's fine. Verse 7, though, says, sometime later, the brook dried up, because there'd been no rain. Wait a second. Wait, was God up there and he's doing all the things keeping the world together, and all of a sudden he's like, oh, I forgot to turn the water on this morning for Elijah. Oh, no. No. He wasn't trying to keep all the plates spinning in the world. He's got the whole world in his hands. So why would the brook dry up? Why would this happen within our lives? See, provision transition is a test of our resolve to trust. Are you going to trust me? And what's going to happen is provision is going to transition in your life, and it is so we do not get lax. We don't just assume that God's going to show up in the same way all the time, because let's face it, we are humans, and we begin to take God for granted when he just does the same thing all the time. But all of a sudden, he brings us through a provision transition. He didn't stop providing for us in any way, but he brings us through this transition so that he can test our resolve to trust him. This is exactly what Rod was robbing from me just a little while ago when he was talking about the landowner didn't need the money. He just wanted to test their resolve to be faithful. He had given them the money. They could do whatever they wanted with the money. Were they going to be faithful with it? Is God going to be able to entrust us with something in which we can be faithful to him in also within our lives? So God didn't make a mistake. He still had it. But many times we get into this point and all of a sudden provision, and we see this great miracle of God, and we gave testimony that God provided this way. I'm so excited. And then it stops. And you're not provided for in the same way. And you're like, God, what have you done? Have you abandoned me? Did you forget about me? Or maybe this is my default. Do I need to help you out, God? You're going to need my help, assistance on this, right? You might need to help me. But it wasn't just an absence of food, which they say you can go 30 days without food. I always keep 30 days of groceries on me at all the time because I'm a prepper. Look at me. But it was water. You got 3 days to make a decision of what you're going to do. And after that, you're in trouble. The brook dried up. And we see that God was dealing with him in a very unique way because he wanted to train Elijah, not just judge Israel. So God's plan for Elijah was not to linger in obscurity anymore and just during all this time of Israel's suffering, just enjoy the presence of God and be on his little camping trip and enjoy himself. But he now was to take the blessings that God had given to him and step out into ministry. He was to step out and do something with him. So in order for him to continue in the provision of God, he had to leave the Kereth Valley. He had to leave that brook. He had to leave the security that he had known up to this point. And all of a sudden, he had to go out someplace else. And God did not stop providing, but God began to transition the provision in his life. And God will not stop providing for you, but he is going to transition provision in your life. And it's a test of your resolve. How are you going to trust the Lord? How much are you going to follow him? So here's the lesson. The lesson is we worship the provider and not the provision. It's really nice when we can just worship the provision, right? You know, in my friendship with Rod, he has taught me so much about this simple, dangerous, irresponsible way of approaching faith in God. And he's just like, meh, I don't know, got to work it out. I choose to help God a lot more than Rod does. And he has taught me so much about just abandon it to the Lord, just trust the Lord. I'm like, yeah, but no. He goes, no buts, trust the Lord. And I'm thankful for you, Rod, because you have brought me along in that. And I found out that the Lord does a real good job without me. You should try it sometime. You'd be surprised how good it can be. See, what happens is we become addicted to one way of God providing, and we only look at that way rather than the creative God we serve. And when we become into this, we become so addictive to this provision, rather than allowing God as a creative God to do a sense of provision transition in our life and trusting the provider, not the provision. That's where we come into this depth of relationship that God can do whatever he wants. He's not going to stop providing for you, but it's not going to be the same. Elijah had to leave the valley. So let's see what happens with him. See, God wants you to do something new, but are you willing to trust him, or are you just going to stay by the brook and just talk about, well, back in the old days, this is the way we did it. We got back in the old days, this is the way God provided, and I always thought it was interesting that people say, man, God used to move so much in the 70s, and we just had these great worship services, and people lingered at the altar, and the presence of God was so sweet. And I'm like, how come you never come to a prayer meeting or Bible study now? I only get an amen from the pastor. But, you know, that's what happens. Because it's a difference for us, too. We talk about the good old days, but we don't contribute the way we did in the good old days. Because sometimes we're so addicted to the provision that we don't make the investment because we lose our sense of hunger for God. And we just want to bask in what it was rather than what is. And, you know, it's okay once in a while to open the fridge up and dig back into the back corners and open that Tupperware container and say, I don't know what that is, but after I microwave it, it may be food. And, you know, you can do that all you want. But when I come home from work and my wife is cooking a roast in the crock pot and it's fresh and it's hot and it's warm, you know what? I'd much rather eat that than whatever is in the back of the fridge. And a lot of times we're so content with the back of the fridge because it's predictable. It's not fuzzy, you know, it's not yet. And I think it was really good last week, so I think it should be still begun. And we miss out on what God wants to do. It's going to be different. Will you step into the different? And lastly, God's provision flows through me to others in adversity. So God's provision is going to flow through me. God does not provide for you just for you. God provides for you so he can flow through you to others in adversity. Do you realize there's people around you that are hurting? Do you realize there's people around you that are broken? Do you realize that there are people that you can throw a rock from your house and they are desperately needing God? They're needing him. We had a garage sale yesterday. It's just amazing. I think we should just buy more stuff to have more garage sales because everybody comes to your house and wants to talk. You know, how come we can't have somebody, we did drive through prayer for years and we get people to come in once in a while, but you have a garage sale, everybody's coming through looking through your dirty closet and stuff, you know. You know, they just think that they're going to find a deal, but, you know, those are broken people. And you begin talking to us, and they share about their brokenness because they're struggling. So God's provision is going to flow through me. Let's look in the last two verses in that chapter. In verse 8 and 9, it says, then the word of the Lord came to him, to Elijah, go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. And Elijah's saying, wait a second, I have to leave my nice camping trip in the Kereth Valley. And I have to go down. Everybody's mad at me and you because I gave this prophecy. And I need to find a widow. And what am I supposed to do with that? And he says, just go there and stay there. See, provision in adversity is a tool for community blessing. When we begin to allow adversity to become a tool for community blessing, it transforms provision in our life. When God provides for me, it doesn't happen in a silo. He provides for everyone through me. So God told a widow who had nothing to supply Elijah with food. But she doesn't have anything. How is she supposed to supply food for Elijah? Go ahead and read the rest of the story. It's a great read. Football's over anyway. So I'll do it this afternoon. But God told Elijah, who had no food, to trust a widow for his provision. But I'm a prophet of God for Israel. Go trust this widow. She's going to supply your food. And so God's provision was going to change both in the widow and her son's life, but also for Elijah within his life. The Kereth Ravine provision was over. It was gone. It was done. And now provision was to be experienced in community. Provision had been experienced in anonymity up to this point. Now it was going to be experienced in community. Do you realize that the more you mature in your faith, the more that you mature in your understanding of God's provision in your life, the more responsibility there's going to be for you to exercise God's provision through you into community? And that is why we take an offering. Should we take another one? We can do that. Okay. But that's why. So if you're spiritually immature, you're probably not going to want to give because you're still trying to hold on to your provision. But when you mature in the provision of God within your life, all of a sudden you want to help others in their adversity because adversity is a community issue and we're going to work through it together. I had a friend of mine once that was a prepper, and he says, yeah, I got 2 years of food stored up. And I said, that's interesting. I said, so tell me, I said, if things got really hard and your neighbor was suffering and starving to death, what would you do? Would you give them food or would you hide it for yourself? And this guy said, they should have prepared. And I was like, nice job, Christian. I said, so if I had not prepared and I was out of food, would you give me food? He go, no. He says, you're not my responsibility. I'm like, okay. Nice to have friends like that, right? But see, God does not bless us in a silo. God blesses us so that we can be a blessing in community. Adversity is about shouldering things as a community for those who are mature in provision. If you're immature in provision, you're just going to be a selfish little child. That's exactly what you're going to be. But when you are responsible about these things, God is going to change you. So provision in adversity is a tool for community blessing. And we see Elijah could have stayed in Kirith. He could have stayed unengaged and in safety, but he was going to get real hungry and he was going to get real thirsty. He had to engage with the famine. He had to engage with the broken people. He had to engage with all of this. So the lesson here is that God's provision is not just to hoard for ourselves. It's to share. All of this is about giving. Everything in our lives is about giving. God will bless us as we focus on Him and not our blessing. How many times do you want to focus on our blessing and not on Him? If God has blessed you with something, you know what? I want you to immediately say, okay, Lord, how is this to be used for your service? How is this to be used for your service? I bought a book the other day that I'd been looking for it, and I quit. It was an out-of-print book, and I've been searching around for it. I finally found it. I bought it. I looked at it just for a couple hours, and I said, I'm just going to dive into this and read it. And I was talking to somebody else about that the next day, and they said, man, I would love to read that book. And I'm like, here you go. And I just gave it to them. I didn't even loan it to them. I just gave it to them. But you know what? We get these. How much are we going to hang on to provision of God in our lives? And how much are we just going to live in community and give it away? See, our only reason for blessing is meant to be given away so we can invest in other people's. 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. You've probably heard it before. It says, praise be to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. So God is not going to bless you just for you. God is going to bless you so you can be a conduit for blessing of others. So you can take the blessing that you receive and you can give it to others. And we begin to see this beauty of what happens as God is blessing me and I can give away. God is blessing to me and I give away. If I hoard it to myself, you know what's going to happen? The provision stops because I'm full. And it's just, you know, it's just like a cup of water or a funnel. Which one's going to require more water? The cup's eventually going to be full. The funnel's going to keep running. And that's the way we live our lives. We want to keep giving out because the Lord is going to keep blessing for us, and it's going to be new, and it's going to be creative, and it's going to be beautiful, and it's going to be so excited as we grow in our strength and our trust of the Lord. The last verse then, 2 Corinthians 9:11 says, "You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." Isn't that exciting? My three-year-old grandson, I was in the store the other day and I bought him a toy. And I was so excited to give it to him. And it was a little truck that he'd been wanting. And I had it. I said, "Here you go, Landon. Here you at. And he says, "Thank you, Grandpa." And he runs into Debbie, my wife, and he calls her Yaya, because it's a Greek thing. I don't understand Greeks. He goes, "Yaya, thank you for getting me this toy. I love you." Because we all know that Yaya is the giver of all good things. I am just this innocent bystander that shows up for dinner once in a while. And I'm like, I planned that. I bought that. I gave that to you, and you're thinking, "That woman?" But you know what? Our generosity is not for us to be thanked. So many times when we're generous, we want to be thanked. We want to say, "Yes, I am the man. I'm the grandpa. You're going to thank me." But you know what? He knows that the giver of all good things comes from Yaya. And he just wanted to go and thank it. And you know what? I'm okay with that. Because the point is not my gratitude towards me. The point is his investing in him. And you know what? When we invest in other people's, I want to be generous so I can give, so people will thank God. I don't want them to thank me. I don't want them to thank the church. I don't want them to look back on this. You know, I tell my students all the time, I say, "You know what? My prayer is that you will forget who I am, but you will remember the things that I say." Because that is what the significance is for their lives. And we want our generosity not to be brought back to us, but to be thanking God. And it drives them to God in their lives. So the Lord wants to work through us, not just in us. He wants to work through us. Otherwise, people around us are going to suffer from our own selfishness. And it's as simple as that. Shared adversity is going to bring about shared provision, building God's kingdom. I share an adversity. And you know what? When I have to give to somebody else, sometimes it causes adversity in my own life. Not to be irresponsible with stewardship in my own life, but there's a lot of times where I give and it stings a little because I really like to spend my resources, my provision, my blessings, even my time on me. So I'm at the altar. Anybody else want to join me here? You know, and that's where we get in our lives. But we've been called to so much more. And we share the adversity because we are in community together. So God is a providing God. God loves us, and he wants to do something profound in us. Did you want to have music at the end? I didn't know what we were going to do. So, Chris, you want to play something inspiring? Here's what I want you to do. I'm not going to do anything weird, but I want to lead you through a spiritual practice, okay? So what I'd like you to do is nudge your neighbor, wake them up, and I teach 7 o'clock a.m. classes, so this happens often. So what I want you to do is I want you to close your eyes with me, if you would. And I want you to take your right hand, and I want you to place it on your lap, palm down. And I want you to take your left hand, and I want you to make a fist and place that fist on your lap also. So your left hand is a fist on your lap, and your right hand is palm down on your lap. Now, I want you to think about your life. I want you to think for a minute about the many ways God has provided for you, has blessed you, has invested in you, from monetary blessings to your spouse, to your family, to your job, to salvation. And as you have that fist and that downturned palm in your lap, I want you to think for a minute, focusing on that right hand. What are the things in my life right now that I am hiding from God, that I'm hiding from myself, that I'm trying to hide from others? Even though God knows everything, I still feel like I can hide from him. What are the things that I'm covering up What are the things in my life that I am just trying to shelter all to myself? I want you to think about those things. And I invite you today to uncover those and give them to the Lord. And if that's you this morning, I invite you to turn that palm over in surrender to God. And just say, Lord, there's nothing hidden anymore. I'm not going to keep these things to myself. I'm not going to hoard blessings. I'm not going to hoard opinions. I'm going to surrender it all to you. I invite you to turn that palm over and humbly surrender that to God. In your left hand, you have a fist on your lap, and that fist represents the things that I hold on to. It's not just the things I try to cover up. These are the things that I aggressively hold on to in my life because I do not want to let them go. It may be an old way that God has blessed you. It may be things that I do not yet want to surrender in my life to step into greater blessings with God. What is it in your life that you're holding on to so desperately that you're missing the creative way that God wants to lead you out of the valley of Kirith and into community adversity in which you will be a blessing to so many others? I invite you this morning, if you're willing, to open that hand, put it palm up, and give it to the Lord this morning. So I'm no longer going to cover things in my life. I'm no longer going to grasp hold of things in my life because now I am in a position to surrender. Now I am in a position to receive something new from God. Now I am in a position to share with others. Lord Jesus, speak to us. Holy Spirit, convict us of our selfishness. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand how we circumvent provision continuing in our lives because we only rest on past blessings and past provisions. And we cry and we complain when we see provision ending in our lives, not stopping to realize that you have a greater provision for us. But we have to submit ourselves to provision transition within our lives. We have to take this on. We have to give all of this to you and trust you that you are going to make the difference. You are still providing. You just desire to provide something new in a different way. And you are testing our resolve to trust you today. Lord, help us to trust you. Lord, forgive us for trying to help you out. To forgive us for only relying on stale old blessings in our life. Lord, we look forward to the new provision, the new way that you are working, the community that you are bringing us into as you are blessing others through us, the many ways that you are going to bless us so that we can be generous to others. And Lord, they probably aren't going to come back and say thank you to us, but they are going to thank you. And that's the point, Lord. Help us, I pray, to be faithful to the provision you've given to us and see that you're always providing. If we will just keep our eyes on you and not try to dictate the ways that you will provide to us, but just live in that simple faith of love. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for your attentive provision in our life. May we receive it in the name of Jesus. Amen.